Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis, because we are men and we face them all the time. We just want to be able to be reminded that we're not alone, that there are other men out there experiencing the same things. Maybe not exactly the same thing, but something close that would be a facsimile.
A facsimile.
Yes. Okay.
In today's day and age, we think of like this machine where we stick something in it and yes. It digitizes. Yeah.
Yes.
But what you mean is very yes. similar in nature.
Like the Borg, right?
The Borg from Star Trek?
Yeah.
Resistance is futile. Yeah.
You can't get away. Anyway, so we talk about... reminding you that, hey, you're not alone in the challenge. It's all about us coming together, united in like-mindedness of saying that we're here to remind each other that seeking Jesus is the best way and being encouraged, exhorted into that realm. And that's really what it comes down to. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about, you know, the difference between right and wrong. We're going to talk about why is it we need to know that. In a sense.
And how is it that we can discern it?
Exactly. Discern? You'll have to give us an actual meaning of discern.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, so that's what we're going to be talking about here in shortly. But we always like to kind of kick things off with some encouragement for you guys who are listening. Before you cut us off saying, I don't like the topic and I'm going to go from there. So we want to give you some encouragement before you leave.
All right, well, I'm still back on the Borg.
That's the kind of morning it's been so far.
Yeah, I'm a total Trekkie, so you start talking Borg, and I've got, like, you know, I've got Patrick Stewart there in my head, you know, talking with this English accent.
Yes. Yeah.
I always thought that sounded kind of Swedish, the Borg. Borg, Borg.
All right. You got to tell the guys what you created your drink this morning of making your coffee drink. You'll understand why he is. I told him, I said, I'm just going to introduce you. And I said, and just shut up. And I said, you can probably.
I made a drink. I don't know what it's actually called, but I called it a caffeine bomb because what I did is I took coffee, filled up my mug, left a little bit of room, and then I put two shots of espresso in my coffee. So I'm just, I'm just ready to go, man.
Oh, my goodness. You have to tie him down. Get another
what are we doing
bungee
here?
Cord.
We're on the encouragement, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Don't drink so much caffeine.
Oh,
heart rate
goodness.
Down. Anyway. So anything encouraging you'd like to share with the guys?
Sure. You know, it came to my mind that we need to be aware of the fact that, you know, for those of us who have children or for those of us who are about to have children or for those of us who think that someday we might have children or for those of us who someday will have children even though we weren't thinking about it.
We weren't planning that.
But the sins that we commit, the things that we do, our children will not be punished for those things, okay? While we make mistakes, our children aren't going to be punished for them. While they may suffer some of the consequences from the decisions that we've made, you know, just like, you know, an extreme example would be, you know, a mother who is on, you know, like crack cocaine while she's pregnant, well, that baby is born quite often with birth defects. It's the consequence of the mother's actions. It's not the baby that's being punished for it.
Right.
You know, that's an extreme example.
Right.
But the same thing for the things that we've done, whether it's sins in the past or sins that we're in now or sins that we will commit in the future, because we make mistakes as parents. And we've made mistakes before we were parents. But our children are not going to be punished for that. But they will often suffer consequences of our wrong decisions. And that's why it's important for us as parents to be seeking Jesus and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and to pursue that. When we're on track with that, then our will becomes aligned with his will.
Right.
So it's all about seeking Jesus, seeking forgiveness for the mistakes that we've done as a parent. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves and say, "I was wrong. Please forgive me."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and on the flip side of the coin, we have to remember that we can't be ultimately responsible for the sins that our children commit because they are their own person. They are committing their own sins. Right. There's two sides to that coin. But hey, you know what? If you feel there is an idea in the church that, you know, that my children are going to be punished because of the things that I've done. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong. There's an entire chapter of the Bible dedicated to this, and it's Ezekiel chapter 18. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Ezekiel chapter 18 and read that. So just be encouraged that the things that you have done, while they may have consequences for our children, they're not going to be the ones who are punished for them. They're not the ones who are going to be standing in judgment for the things that you have done.
Right. And, you know, and that's a good reminder as even men, as we have, as we're still on this earth and growing, we have children of our own. Maybe we fell into that same thinking of the sins of my father. That I'm a recipient.
Right. So it's not my fault. It's my dad's fault.
And you have this victim mentality, which is not a good place to be because that just leads to desiring and acquiring more and more things that don't cost you anything. And thinking, I deserve this because, you know, and it's not about that. We all have our relationship with Jesus. He's given us opportunity to live. Are things right in our lives? No. Everyone has challenges, right? But what we're talking about right now is the simple fact is that we have tools to be able to, when we've done a wrong, to make it right, okay? And we have tools to be able to discern what is right and wrong and what we want to do that is right or maybe what God wants us to be doing, which is a good segue right into what we're going to be talking about here.
Well, yeah, because we are... We're going to be talking about, you know, right and wrong, being able to tell the difference. We tend to think that, oh, yeah, well, right and wrong, I know what's right and wrong. Well, the thing is that we, as fallen people, we have a fallen view of what's right and wrong.
Well, you know, before we get jump the gun here and go from starting at age 30, okay, on knowing the difference between right or wrong, okay, or as an adult, I should say, let's start where it actually begins, at the very beginning, as children. How do we discern, or do we, how do we know the difference between right or wrong?
Well, we were raised by our parents, and they were the ones who instilled those values in us.
Right.
And it was done either by the words that they used or by the actions that they demonstrated.
Yes.
So quite often the actions demonstrated were a little bit different from the words that were used.
Yeah, because usually it came with a discipline to be able to get your attention, to let you know that, no, this is not the way I want you to be doing this, you know. And that may come in manners that were a little painful sometimes physically, but it got your attention, okay, and it lets you know. I remember always being told, don't do something, and whenever I was told, don't do something, I remember that as a kid. I wanted to find out what it was. I wanted to find out, don't put anything in that hole in the wall. Do not put anything metal in that hole in the wall. Why would they tell me that? What's in there? Is there a mouse in that little thing? A worm? Or what is in there?
So then you got to find out what's in there. So I go and I get some metal.
Yeah, you get a piece of metal, a nail, and stick it in there. And then all of a sudden, zap. And then you find out very quickly. Don't touch that flame. That flame is going to burn you. It's hot. It doesn't look hot. I'm saying to myself. It actually is kind of blue at the bottom, so maybe it's cool down at the bottom part, and it's only hot at the top where it's white, right? Come on. No,
how'd that work out for you?
I'm not the only one who ever thought that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I eventually, when nobody's around, I'm going to touch that blue part. Oh, man, that's smarts, right? So we have to learn from our own experiences sometimes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
But if we waited to learn from our own experiences that on what is right and what is wrong, or what is beneficial and what is not beneficial, we could go through life pretty beat up.
Well, our own experiences, though, are subjective.
Yes.
So, and what I mean by that is the experiences that I have may not accurately demonstrate what truly is right or wrong.
Right.
But what we do have is God's word, and God's word is objective, which means that it comes not from my experiences, but it comes from him down to us, and it is the ultimate truth,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have this book, which tells us, you know, what is right and wrong. Now, I want to go back a little bit, though, because you...
Like in 1800 BC?
No, just a few minutes back.
Okay.
Because you were talking about going back to the beginning. Right.
Well,
and
I wasn't
sure if you were going to be going to back to the beginning, like to childhood, or if you were going to go back to Genesis chapter 3.
Well, I know. I kind of, you gave me that look, and I said,
What beginning are you talking about? Well, I didn't want to confuse you too much.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Because it doesn't take much to confuse Raul, so I have to kind of baby you through this.
This is the caffeine kid talking to me right now, so it's only the caffeine speaking to me. It's not really Eric.
All right. Okay, so we're going to go back to the beginning. Whew, rough show. All right. Back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open." Talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "And you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, Raul, I find this kind of interesting. In the beginning, what we have is Adam and Eve who desire to know good and evil and to be like God, to aspire to godhood through their own works, which would be eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to be like God. They say, "I know how to do that, because here the serpent just told me all I got to do is eat this fruit, and then I will have the knowledge." So they're aspiring to be to put themselves on the level of God with by eating of this fruit, by going fruit and doing this work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the exact opposite thing happening, and we realize that it's through discerning the truth of God by which the true knowledge of good and evil comes. And it's by his work that we are able to discern what truly is good and evil. So it's just kind of interesting how that kind of flops around, because, you know, it's all man right from the beginning has tried to be God, and we've tried to put ourselves on that throne. And here they are, they've decided to make up their own rule based on the serpent's lie about, you know, what's okay to do and what's not okay to do. Sure, God said don't do it, but the serpent said it was okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and justify it then, and I'm going to go eat this fruit, and then I will be like God. Yay!
Now, one thing, I'm going to just kind of play, excuse the expression.
Okay, go for it.
Devil's advocate, okay? Adam knew nothing but good. When he was created, he was given everything that he needed. There was no wrong. Everything was good. He was in God's presence. He was in a garden that was beautiful, okay, from description and from what we understand. So it was beyond even, we can't even imagine what that was like, because there's no evil. It's nothing but good. Evil didn't show up until he mentioned the tree. Now, curiosity is what created the challenge. Because here's a snake. Nobody knows that a snake's not supposed to talk. Think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this is the beginning of things, right? And, well, God had brought Eve, and Adam has been very busy saying, man, this is a cool thing that you've given me, Lord. Thank you. And, you know, he's just let your imagination go with that. But that was, those are our ancestors, okay? And what ended up taking place is that when God started to say, this is, I want to explain a few things. Can you imagine it, hearing it for the first time, that evil, the tree of good and evil, you know, stay clear of that. It's kind of like, don't put anything in that hole in the wall. Don't touch the right. blue part, or don't touch a flame. You're going to get
right,
burned.
But that curiosity. Yeah.
But that curiosity.
That desire to know.
So the, you know, the old statement that's I used to hear as a kid or whatever, and for, because I'm old, is curiosity kills the cat, right?
Well, the cat must have put something metal in that hole in the wall.
9 times at least. But my point is that here's what ended up taking place. It wasn't until it was mentioned not to touch this that's when all of a sudden the curiosity came up. And then now we get to realize, because God created evil.
Well, God created God didn't create evil. He created the ability for man to experience evil through our own actions.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And
for
that's our free will.
Yes. But the simple fact is that because of that and our curiosity, you know, our curiosity has gotten us in trouble a few times. Maybe not you, Eric, but it has for me every time.
my curiosity got me. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to see what would happen if I jammed potatoes into my dad's thermos. So I crammed those things in there.
Okay.
And what I learned was that you can't get them back out, and mom gets very mad. My curiosity got me into all sorts of trouble.
Sure. Yeah, but that's the nature of the beast, right? In a sense. That's usually where we end up going, is that we need to find out and stuff. So and I'm trying to segue into the area where I think that as we become more mature, okay, that we actually end up realizing that there are, as you said earlier, consequences to all our actions. Mm-hmm. Now, the consequences I used to always think were negative. When someone said, you're going to have a consequence, I used to think, oh, something bad's going to happen. We used to have a TV show when I was growing up called Truth or Consequences. So I always look at it, there's either truth or there's a consequence. Truth being good, consequence bad.
What year was this show on? Because I don't have any memory of this TV show.
And well, you're pretty... Producer, can you help me? Do you remember this? Truth or Consequences? Do you remember the show? Yes.
It was in the 60s?
Yeah, yes.
All right, because I didn't come around until the 70s.
Yes, I know that. But my point is that that's part of what takes place, is to realize when there is an action, there's going to be a reaction, mm-hmm. right? That's basic physics, which I did not take. I just remember hearing somebody saying that, and I said, I like it. I'm going to use that sometime. And I just used it again.
Oh, beautiful.
Where do you want to go from here? How about a break?
Sure.
Get your composure together and everything. Let's take a little break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about the next segment, Chapter 2 of... Truth or Consequences. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one-of-a-kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at cascademonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
Tell me where
Radio. I've got Mib in the studio with me today, and that would be the man in brown. And he's a little hyped up on a little caffeine juice, and I'm trying to keep him get another budgie cord. So
at,
we are just
at
in
this
case
point in the week. I need a little bit of extra.
We can hold him down a little bit. I've got a definition for discernment, according to, and this is a biblical definition. Okay, by John MacArthur. In its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with an ability to think biblically. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. And that's a good word. There's a whole lot of thinking involved there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the question is, you know, how? How then do we come across this practice? How do we make the distinction of right from wrong? What kind of tests can we put to it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is the part where that I confess that some of the ideas that that I got here for today's show, it came from a book that I'm reading. It's called The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. It's a fantastic book. I would actually recommend all Christians to read this book. He lays out in this book that there are four questions that you can ask when you're coming up upon a point where either you need to make a decision or you need to discern what, you know, the right action is, or the wrong action, or the right way to think about something, or mm-hmm. the wrong way to think about something. So there are four simple questions that you can apply to it, and it helps to make the decision as, you know, like what's right and what's wrong. And he bases these questions on some verses that are in 1 Corinthians. And so if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything." So the first question that we can ask, Raul, is...
Is it helpful?
Is it helpful? That's thank you. Yeah, is it helpful? So is it helpful? Is it helpful for me?
Yeah, yeah. Now, helpful in what sense? Because sometimes I may think that if I get my way and I get my pleasure, that it's helpful.
Well, the helpful is not necessarily always helpful for me. Is it helpful for the kingdom of God?
Ah.
Is it helpful for
So it's not thinking
person?
About me. It's about thinking about everything else but me.
But it can be also helpful for my own spiritual well-being.
Okay, got it.
So... The term helpful can apply to a number of different ways. You know, is it helpful? You know, so we can go to the guy who has a secret sin.
Yes.
Continuing on in the secret sin. So we can say, you know, pretty simple decision. Here I am. I've got this secret sin. Is it helpful for me to continue in it?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it helpful for me to stop doing it?
Mm.
To seek help mm-hmm. in this,
mm-hmm.
what would be the decision that is actually helpful for the man?
So, when you take away, see, what you're actually explaining here is an awful lot of thought process. And the majority of guys, I don't think they go through that much thought process. They're more of a action and reaction type of thing, right?
That's why. There needs to be a real intentionality in it, because that's not who I am by nature.
So, in other words, I have to be focused on what's the verse that I'm thinking of here? Capture every thought.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
To hold every thought captive.
Hold every thought captive, right, and bring it to so that anyway. So, but my point being is that great word, intentional, okay, that we have to do things differently than the way that we have in the past. If we come from a place of darkness and a place of demise and hopelessness, okay, and all of a sudden we realize that something greater than me, and I'm going to call him Jesus, pulled me out of the muck and the mire and put me on the rock, right? Clean me up and put me on the rock, which is him. My point being is that now I've got to realize, after hearing it, I've heard it before, we've all heard it, we're a new creation each and every day, being renewed, our mind being renewed, our spiritual life being renewed, our lives being renewed, each and every day. And as a result of that, we need to do things differently, right?
That's right.
Because if we did them the same way as we did before, we wouldn't be intentional. We'll just react again. Instead of just reacting, we need to think about what we need to do. I think most times, and I know this from my own life, and I'll speak only for myself, that when I started to think things through, in other words, if I'm going to make a decision to do this, what's going to happen? You know, start to think through the process. Well, you know, this is the action that might happen. Somebody might not think that's appropriate. They might call the police, and I could be in trouble for that. I could end up spending time in jail. I could end up losing, you know, this, this, and this, whatever. When we start thinking things through, I believe that a lot of times that's the Holy Spirit giving us discernment.
Yeah. You used the word reaction. And I think that's really important because we've been trained by our experiences and you know, all the way back to childhood to react in a certain way to, you know, in our decision making.
Right.
And that's, you know, and that's just a reaction that's done without thought. Right. Mm-hmm. And so those reactions that we have, we know from experience, Raul, I know from my own experience that the reactions that I have would cause me to make decisions that were bad, that would cause me to choose the wrong instead of to choose the right.
Right.
And so those, if I continue to just react to everything, I'm going to continue to do the things that I've always done.
Keep doing the same thing
over and
over again.
And if I continue to do the things that I've always done, I will continue to have the things that I've always had.
And someone's going to call you crazy somewhere. Because you really are. You're doing the same things over and over again, just expecting a different result. Oh, I got different clothes on. I took a shower this time before I made that decision. Or I'm going to do you know, whatever it is, right? No, you're still doing the same thing. But being able to... So... In a sense, how does a guy get to this place of being able to be focused, you know, in the crosshairs on what it is he's doing? Do I have to, I guess, do I really have to take every thought captive? Does that apply to me, to this situation?
Oh, I would say yeah.
Yeah, that would be the correct answer.
I would say yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And as a result of doing that, then we start to do something different. You know, I think one of the things that has been an awareness to me in this walk with Christ is that there's been not so much a lot of learning as it seems like it's been more laborious in unlearning the things I've been doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to unlearn. And in other words, I have to replace, I got to stop doing that and I got to replace it with something else. Yeah, if I don't, I'm in trouble.
So in this circumstance, we replace the reaction that we would normally have with some biblical thought on it and then make a true discernment of the situation.
Yes, yes.
Based on God's right and wrong.
Let's do this. Let's take a break because, and I know guys are saying, man, a break? You just had a break. Yes, I know. Just see how you're so into our topic that we're, so are we. You've kind of calmed down a little bit. Thank you, Lord. You know, that's a good thing. Not trying to fire it back up. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Let's talk about this on because I like this line that we're going down right now because it kind of helps out. What is it that is necessary for us to do to be able to break this habit? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
Welcome back. I guess the producer said that's enough dancing, right? So I just pot it down, and now he's got to talk now. So anyway, so capturing every thought, okay, of being able to be willing to change a habit of how we used to do things. Reacting. Instead of reacting, maybe what I'll do is pause. You know, we've heard this before. I share it a lot of times with the men. I said, one of the things I learned in recovery is that before taking action on something, that I pause, P-A-U-S-E. I pause before I take any action. And the action could be something physical, a movement. It could be a verbal response, a reply, right? Which is usually easy to... That's a hard thing to stop, but sometimes that's the most important thing we need to stop. Or even a look, you know. We can all do that, right? We can shoot out the arrows and everything without even saying anything to let somebody know that I really love you, you know. But my point is that we pause, okay? How long does that pause take?
Well,
as long as it's necessary. It could be a few moments. It could be an hour. It could be days. It could be weeks, years before you actually have to say anything or get to that place. But the pause, what takes place in that pause is so crucial. That's where, as followers of Christ, we have been manufactured by the Creator of all things. He created us. So we need to go back to the Creator. Said, I need help. I need your guidance. I need you to help me to be able to hear what you have to say, to receive what you say, and to be courageous enough to put it into action. If that means die to self and not doing anything, may I have enough. So really that pause is me connecting with God.
That, and it's, yeah, absolutely. It's that connection with God, being recognizing that we are in His presence, recognizing that the Holy Spirit that is within us seeks to lead us and to guide us, to give us His conviction, and to think on these things.
Right.
You know, this thought comes back into right back into the picture. You know, that pause is a chance to consider biblically our actions, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next question that I would go to. The next question is, does it bring me under its power? So when I'm considering whether or not something is right or wrong, does it bring me under its power? Am I enslaved to this thing? Mm. You know, and that could be even as simple as a TV show that I just can't miss.
Right.
Right. I can't miss this TV show, because if I do, you know, then I won't know if Anna goes to prison or not. And I'm talking about Downton Abbey.
It didn't matter where you were. I just saw you just throwing names out there. I was going to go, okay. So I get the gist.
That's true. I like that show. But anyway, season's over, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. But
until next year.
But the thing is, you know, with the TV show, am I to the point where that I have to forsake other things in order to be able to see this TV show? Am I neglecting something else? Am I under its power? Or an even more extreme example that a lot of guys will relate to is golf.
Oh, yes.
Am I going to be enslaved to being a weekend golfer, or maybe even taking days off in the middle of the week, whatever it is, to you know, to golf. And in such, you know, you're out on the course. That's a good, you know, 5-6 hour chunk of the day.
Yeah.
When, you know, and we go to work. Here comes the weekend. We go golfing. When are we doing our job as a father in leading our family? If we're gone, we're gone, we're gone, we're gone, we leave.
Mm-hmm.
You see, am I enslaved to that? Is that having a higher priority in my life than what God has called me to do?
Yeah.
You know, so those are just some everyday examples of how we can ask, you know, am I under its power? Now, there's also the other things, you know, like we talked about before, the secret sin.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, drugs or alcohol. It could be gambling. You know, I could go on and on and on listing all these different things that tend to enslave men where we come under its power. But I just wanted to point out that there are more subtle things that we don't realize that, hey, wait a minute, maybe I am under power in this thing. Maybe I am enslaved to this thing.
And a lot of guys will actually think, you know, I don't think that way. But you do think that way. We just don't give it enough time. Because we do. Men are curious. We're fixers. We want to be able to take care of the problem. Now, we may think that we don't have a problem. This is something that I need to be doing. But we do take a moment throughout to think about these things. And that's the time when we actually need to say, okay, wait, stop, pause right now. Pause. And then connect up with the manufacturer of my body, right? Mm-hmm. And who I am. That is the perfect time to be able to break that habit of just of reacting, in a sense, right? Or doing the same thing that we've always done. I can't change that. No, it's because you don't want to change that. It's not that you can't. There's no such thing as can't.
Right. Right. And I may be thinking, I don't want to change the fact that I go golfing every Saturday morning with my buddies.
Yes.
Why? Because it brings me pleasure. It's what I want to do. Well, it may not be what you need to be doing. So that's where the, you know, the stopping and thinking about it and be willing to forsake that. You know, Raul, we're actually called to be willing to forsake everything for Jesus.
And everything?
Everything.
Wait a minute. Everything?
Everything, Raul. When when I say everything, what I really mean is everything.
Oh, we just lost some listeners. I just know we did. Guys are saying, okay, these guys are too legalistic. No, we're telling the truth because that's really what it comes down to. You get into the Word of God, He speaks to you, and you can sit there and say, oh, you know, it's this translation. I need to get a different translation. Okay.
I need to get a better Bible.
A better Bible. One that speaks my language, right? And you know what? If you keep searching, eventually you will find one that speaks your language. But maybe it's just about getting to have that relationship with Jesus Christ and trusting what He's going to tell you, okay? Along with what's in His Word, okay? But truthfully, what it comes down to is that we want to avoid hearing things that tell us that we can't have pleasure and enjoyment in our lives the way that we see it.
Right. So we want to go golfing because it's what we want to do. Meanwhile, we forget about the fact that that we're hurting somebody else. We're neglecting our responsibility.
Oh, I thought when you golf that you actually hit the ball wrong and hit me over on the side.
I've done that.
Yes.
I've done that too. Wasn't the type of hurting I was talking about.
My resentment is starting to build a little bit here. I need to take a break. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're not going to talk about that resentment. We're going to talk about what he wanted to talk about. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bad
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation, a group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and Eric just told me, he says that if he wanted to me to get hit with a golf ball, he would be able to hit me
with a golf ball. I said if I was going to hit you with a golf ball, I'd do it on purpose.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
but that's just being funny. I would never hit you with a golf ball.
Yeah, okay, we'll wait and see what happens during the tournament this summer that comes up.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so... You were going on a thought.
So yeah, I was. Anyways, let's go to 1 Corinthians 8:13. It says, "Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." Okay, so that goes into the idea of does this hurt somebody? You know, good or bad, right or wrong. Mm-hmm. We can look at the fact, does this hurt somebody? Does this hurt somebody else? It may not hurt me, Raul,
yes,
but it may hurt somebody else. And we're relational people, right? Just as we're designed to be in relationship with God, we're designed to be in relationship with each other. And insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with one another, it says in God's word.
Yes.
Right? So it's my responsibility to be at peace with Raul.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Insofar as it depends on me, it's my responsibility to be at peace with my coworkers, every single person in my life. So
what you're taking away is, where we actually are dealing with circumstances. In other words, we're not blaming circumstances for our situation. We have to take responsibility. That's really what you're saying here.
Yeah, we do have to take responsibility. Yeah. And in that, we don't want to, we don't want to hurt somebody else because, we're to think of somebody else more highly than ourselves.
Yeah.
But this last question that that was asked in this book, The Pursuit of Holiness, this one is the real kicker for me. And the question is, does it glorify God?
Mm. Yeah.
This decision that I have to make, this action that I'm going to take, this thought that I'm going to have, does it glorify God? Yeah. And that's such a simple question to ask, but it takes a lot of deep thought.
Mm-hmm.
And, I came against this question just the other day, and it was a work situation.
Mm.
And, and I had to decide what route I was going to take. And God spoke to me, and he said, Eric, I want you to choose whatever brings me the most glory.
Mm.
So then I had to stop and think. I had to pause.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
And I'm not giving Eric kudos or anything like that. That's not what I'm doing
here.
No, I'm just
God's
giving,
getting the glorification.
Absolutely.
Here.
I glorify God because he's the one who told me what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pause, and I had to think, God, what would bring you the most glory?
Mm-hmm.
And I had the option of going one route that would benefit me, and I had the option of going another route which would benefit the relationships that I have with people.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, you know what? I designed you to be relational. That's the right choice.
Yep.
That is right. Choose that.
Yep.
Don't choose to benefit yourself. Choose to benefit your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so he spoke to my heart, and I was able to act upon that. And I can honestly say that with a good conscience, I believe that I chose the right action in that mm-hmm. instance.
And really what it comes down to is that when God gets us to stop thinking about us, things go better.
Yeah.
They really do.
When we stop just gazing at our belly button all day long, just worried about myself, and truly to worry and to think of others more highly than yourself, it's very difficult. It's a very intentional thing.
Yes.
It doesn't come naturally to me to think of other people
yes.
first
yes.
because You know, I am me. I'm trapped in my body. When I eat to satisfy my hunger. Mm-hmm. When I breathe, I do that to satisfy my need for breath. Everything that I do is about me. It's me, yes. me.
Right.
And then I'm called upon to be selfless.
Yes.
Well, all my whole life I've been selfish. Mm-hmm. So I really have to unlearn everything that I have learned,
yes.
and to be very intentional about, does this glorify God?
Yep.
Am I benefiting somebody else? Am I helping somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Am I hurting somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the, you know, these are the kind of questions that we can ask ourselves. And, you know, it really goes back to that, what you said before, the pause.
Yep.
We have to stop and take that moment, whether it be 5 seconds or 5 minutes or 5 months or whatever it is, to pause and to think clearly on what God would have us do.
Wow. This has been a good show. And that caffeine is still going really well in you. You'll need it as you drive around through the day and making deliveries all day like Santa Claus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ.
Okay, I've got another one real quick. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
You have a short prayer for the guys.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would bless my brothers today as we seek your good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.